Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Amen. Merry Christmas. Let's start today in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. Paul says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father." So says Paul. Music is a very powerful thing. God made us to be musical people. And we read in the Old Testament, and we hear all the way through the Scriptures, God calling his people, sing for joy at what the Lord has done. Sing for joy, even you mountains. Sing for joy. Music's a really powerful thing. You ever go to sleep at night listening to a song, and then you forget about it? You wake up the next morning, you're going around to your business, and you're humming a tune, and you're not sure which it is. And when you hum it loud enough, you listen to it, and you're like, oh, that was the one I was listening to last night before I went to bed. Ever happened to you? All right, well, music is like this. It's like a guitar string. You can have a guitarist, and he plays a chord. Bring, he plays it on the instrument, but even after he's done playing, it continues to reverberate and echo around the chambers of the instrument. Well, music has this very powerful thing about it, too, that even after we've listened to it, even after we're done and the song is over, it still continues to echo around the chambers of our soul. So God wants us to be singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. And we see Paul says he likens it in this verse kind of in a parallel way to drinking wine and getting drunk. We can get drunk on the Holy Spirit. How do you get drunk with wine? Hopefully none of you have this experience recently, but how do you get drunk with wine? By drinking wine. Good. All right, you don't get drunk by looking at wine, by thinking about wine, but by drinking it. Well, how do we get filled with the Spirit? Not just by thinking about it, but by actually drinking of him. That is, as Paul describes in this verse, through worship. And one great way to worship is through hymns and songs and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of Jesus Christ to God the Father. And when you drink wine, what happens to you? Eventually, if you have enough of it and you keep drinking, you come under its influence, under the influence of something else. That's why we say a person can be under the influence. But what God wants for us is not to be drunk with wine. That's debauchery. That's sin. That's evil. But rather to be drunk, to be filled with, drunk, or let's say, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, so that his power fills us and overcomes us, so that there is a strength inside of us that is born of clarity, of truth, of the power of God through the worship of his people in song. And so this morning, on such a great morning where we hear the scriptures telling us to sing of these marvelous things, I thought we could talk about some of the scriptures, the truths that God wants to speak to you today, and then to sing about them. And I'll sing, and you can sing, and I don't want to do this in a performance kind of way, because I'm not going to be perfect, but rather in a worshipful way, just worshiping in the Holy Spirit. So let's take a look at some scriptures then that God has for us, beginning in Luke chapter 2, some of which we read last night. But let's see, verse 7. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. So when the angel said this, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, what is he implying they're going to do in response to him? Go and seek him. Go and look for him. Go and find this babe and rejoice at him, right? Yeah, this would be not only an invitation, but a command from God. Go and see. Or come and see. And why do you think he said this to shepherds? Well, the scriptures seem to indicate, and a lot of people think, that it's God was revealing this to the very lowest of people, to their lowest state. And also, remember our Lord himself was born into a very poor family, born of a young virgin, born in the lowliest of towns. For it says in Micah chapter 5, but you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from days of eternity. But why did God come in such a lowly way? Why did he reveal it to the shepherds? I believe because he wants people to know that though he is so great a king, you should never fear to come to him, no matter how lowly you are. In fact, our Lord was born in Bethlehem, which you know is just a few miles away from the lowest place on planet Earth, on dry land, the Dead Sea. God chose that place to be born. But he says in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So if you're poor in spirit, or even if you're poor in wealth, don't be afraid. God still bids to you, as he bids to the shepherds, come. Come and see. Don't be afraid. I have come for those such as you to save you from your sins. But not only does he bid the poor to come, but also the rich. Because in Matthew chapter 5, we read another story of Christmas. It says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where he is he who was born king of the Jews, for we have seen his star. What did they come to bring? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Probably not things shepherds are walking around with. But I think Jesus is showing here in these scriptures, if you're rich, if you're poor, all that's required is that you're poor in spirit. Come, come one and come all and see my son who has been born as your savior. Not just a savior, not just the savior of somebody else, but who is born in the city of David for you, a savior, the angel said, for you. And I want you to know this is for you. So what's this remind me of? And as we worship the Lord, come, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. So as our first worship, I'll sing the first verse. I'll do the Latin verse that you hear sometimes, and then you guys can join in the verse that you all know very well in English. I'm going to ask you to do something as Lutherans. Raise your hands as you pray. That's, I know, a very non-Lutheran, non-German thing to do. But Germans are good. If I command you to do it, then you all do it in perfect conformity. So, in worship. Adeste fideles, laeti triumphantes, venite, venite in Bethlehem, natum videte, Regem angelorum, venite adoremus, venite adoremus, venite adoremus Dominum. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. And Vivian even had two hands up. She's very attentive here. Good secretary you are. So God bids one and all, everyone, to come and see his son, because Jesus says, he who sees the son and believes on him has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day, John chapter 6. So we come to see him, we come to worship him, but what did he come to bring? Well, we read in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. We looked at part of this last night. God promised in the days of old, in the days of Isaiah, 800 years before Christ, and he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He'll swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Isn't that great? For the Lord has spoken. It can't but come to pass because the Lord has spoken. And what's he going to do? Swallow up death. We hate death, ultimately. It robs us of our family members. It robs us of, we're afraid of it. We're afraid of the grave, but Jesus came to conquer death for us. Have you forgotten that we live in a dark world, a world made dark by sin, death, and the devil? What's Job say of this life? Job 3:26, I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. And Job 5, for affliction does not come from the dust, nor trouble sprout from the ground, but man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. And chapter 3, why did I not die at birth and come out from the womb and expire? You ever feel like that? You know, hopefully your life is happier than that. Job was under a great pressure there. But sometimes we do feel like that. And this is the result of sin and death in the world and our arch enemy, the evil one. But we have this promise in Isaiah chapter 9. God says, but there will be no gloom for her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. But in the latter time, he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. This is where the light of Jesus was going to shine and work and minister and heal and raise the dead. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. So when we think of Christmas, this is the day of joy. As it's written, as it's sung, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night, O night divine. What a holy, holy night that was when the light came into our world. For truly he's taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. And John said, I'm writing a new commandment, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And his law is love. We're rescued. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we. With all our hearts we praise his holy name. One more time. Christ is the Lord, his name forever praise we. Noel, Noel, O night divine, Noel, Noel, O night divine. So, God has saved us, he's come, he's called us, we've seen his glory. So, how should we respond? How should our lives be changed because of Christmas, because of our Lord's taking on flesh, and then redeeming us from our sins, then being raised from the dead that we may share in his life? Should we go around
mopey
and depressed and troubled and anxious consciences? It seems silly, and you laugh at it for me doing that up here, but how many of you live that way? We go on with troubled consciences and fear and troubles, but what does it say in the scriptures? How does God want you to respond to Christmas? So, but for you who fear my name, God says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out like calves leaping from their stalls. Naomi got a present this morning. I won't get into the details of it, Naomi, don't worry. But she expressed what Christmas joy ought to be like. She got all her presents, and then at last she had a big one. She's thinking, oh, I didn't get the one I really wanted. And then inside, Mommy had wrapped a little present inside the big one, and she goes, oh, opens it up and started jumping for joy. And her eyes were open, and she couldn't contain herself. Well, haven't we unwrapped a better present than that in the person of Jesus Christ? And this is what God's response wants our response to be, like calves leaping from their stalls. But it's so easy for us in our sinful estate to get used to things. Isn't that true? We can get used to just about anything as people. I remember once when I was sailing in the Caribbean for 4 months on one of the ships, and the second mate came up and said, you know, we take all this for granted. We're down here. We got aqua, turquoise water. Here's a volcanic island in the distance. We're on a tall ship. We're sailing through the waters. We got a beautiful, adventurous life, and yet we're bored. And we feel it's drudgery, and we've gotten tired, and we're not taking it in anymore. And we can do that same thing with Christmas. We can do that with pretty much anything. If we can do that with Jesus, we can do that with anything. But this is not what God wants for us. Listen again and get some fresh joy from Jesus speaking to you right now through me, incarnating, in a sense, himself through me, saying, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Amen. He'll never see death. I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Peter says, you know that you are ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. And Paul says, because of one man's trespass, one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man. Much more then will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. You see how God has taken you from the lowest port and put you on a pedestal to stand high with him, making you soar like as with wings of eagles. So how should we be responding? You're covered in his righteousness. God wants for you then rest for your troubled minds. He wants peace for your hearts. Can you examine your heart right now? What's in there? How do you feel? You feel nervous today? You feel exhausted today? You feel down today? How about feeling peace? How about feeling rest? Your God's come and saved you and reconciled you through the blood of his Son. God rest, ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. So we've heard God calling us, come one, come all, ye faithful, and see my son. We've heard the good news of what he's come to do. We respond with peace, comfort, and spiritual joy. Now, what are we supposed to do in response to Christmas? Well, in Isaiah chapter 57, it's written in verse 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those who preach good news, who bring good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So what are we supposed to do? Psalm 22, David says, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I'll praise thee. Psalm 66, come and hear, all you who fear God. I will tell you what God has done for my soul. I will tell you what God has done for my soul. I will tell you what God has done for my soul. So go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Almost heard some harmony out there. So as we conclude this sermon, how about throughout this year you get drunk in the Holy Spirit? I hate to use that word in that way, but I mean, come under his influence, worship God, surround yourselves with the songs of your salvation, which will lift up your soul as the Spirit fills you. Always and for everything, giving thanks in the name of God the Father, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Let's conclude this sermon. You conclude it for me. I know you've always wanted to do that. With Joy to the World, found on page 4. We'll just sing the first verse. Joy to the World, page 4 of the bulletin.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive its King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing.
In Jesus' name. Okay, we would normally go to the Nicene Creed at this time, but we're going to hear the good confession of a brother of ours who is going to be baptized in the ocean, but we elected really to do it rather in the congregation on Christmas morn. So, Daniel, if you'd like to come forward, and Neil, if you'd come forward and hold the candle for me. Daniel, your family can come up as well.